me. Generals gathered in their
masses. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Can You Edit That Out? Today's guest is Dave Cowens, who is another comic from San Diego, who works at the Madhouse Comedy Club. We were a little bit short on time on this one. I showed up kind of late and he had something else that he had to go to, so it's pretty short. And I decided to label it as the lightning round of Can You Edit That Out? Because we usually run for a good amount of time, and then I have to cut back so it's not ridiculously long. But either way, it was a good conversation. Dave Collins is a great guy, and I hope you enjoyed the episode.
All right, we're going. We're in this is the lightning round of Can You Edit That Out with Dave Collins.
Thanks
for joining me today, man.
Anytime.
So I think I already explained this to you a little bit. You know, we're talking about a lot of we want to find out what makes you the person that you are. So
mostly whiskey and regrets.
Yeah. but the seed of you somewhere deep down in there, and okay. Also in the context of what you do, because you do comedy.
I do.
And why do you do that?
I've been doing it for almost 8 years now, and it just started because I thought I was funny enough to do it. So I tried an open mic, and I had a good set, and I've been doing it ever since.
All right. Well, what was the down in the core of you? What? I mean, the comedy is brutal, you know?
It can be.
It can be a lot of fun also.
Yeah.
But I think it takes a very specific type of person to be able to handle the criticism and the need to make everybody laugh and be happy. You know, like people talk about how, like, you can't make everybody happy when you're a comic.
Right.
You're trying to like get everybody in that room to enjoy you. And it can be really difficult and it can be hard.
Yeah.
It can be a hard road, especially if you're pursuing comedy as a career. So what about you makes this work for you?
I always have enjoyed being, I don't know if entertainer is the right word, but I just enjoy entertaining people. I enjoy like getting reaction out of people, having people enjoy what I'm doing or saying. It's always fun just to sort of be the center of attention in that regard. But
yeah,
and I feel like a lot of comics, obviously I can't speak for all comics, but I feel like a lot of comics have this weird duality where they have the need to feel accepted, which is kind of why they do what they do. They want to entertain. They want to be accepted. They want people to laugh. But at the same time, they're incredibly sensitive to criticism, which is a weird spot to be in.
Are you sensitive to criticism?
Oh, yeah.
What are you sensitive about? Like, what do you not like, if somebody was to say something to you, what would it would really hurt you?
Usually it's about my haircut.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I clearly don't give a shit what that looks like. I don't know. It's not so much that it's, for me, it's not sensitive in that regard. It's just like when people don't get what I'm saying, or if they tell me, oh, that joke would be funny if you tried it like this or whatever. It's like, no, dude, I know this is funny.
Yeah.
I know this is going to work. You're just not getting it. It's kind of frustrating in that regard.
Okay. So you're sensitive to people's criticism about your comedy?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you worry that people don't like you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, I don't know. Like I said, I think a lot of comics worry like that. Some comics, you know, they work to alienate the crowd. But I think a good portion of comics have a fear of not being liked or not being accepted or not being, you know, something like that.
What about like your peers and stuff?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You always want your...
Do you fear their criticism more than the audience's criticism?
It depends. It depends on who it's coming from, because there's such a wide array of talent in the comedy scene and a wide array of lack of talent in the comedy scene. So, I mean, it definitely depends on who it's coming from.
Okay. So you think that part of what you do comes from enjoyment of having attention and entertaining people?
Yeah, and I think the root of that is just it boils down to the same thing. It's the need to be accepted. And if you can make people laugh, you can entertain people and give them a good time, then they accept you. They kind of appreciate you. They think you're a good person. They think, you know, oh, I like this guy. He has value. So it's sort of like affirming that you're a valuable person.
What were you like growing up? Were you
super shy?
Yeah?
So shy.
So it took you a while to get out of your comfort zone?
Yeah.
You're a pretty sociable person now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did that? When did that change happen? Did comedy help that?
Comedy did help, but still, that's another strange dichotomy. I don't know if other comics have this or not, but like I'm an incredibly social person. I'm friends with a ton of comics. I make friends easily. I enjoy hanging out with people, but it only goes to a point. Like once, if I'm hanging out with people, I like to be able to sort of hang back and get out of it if I want to. I don't like to be completely on the spot. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm hanging out with just a couple people and I feel like, I don't know, there's certain points where I just feel like a little too open, a little too, okay, I'm done talking now. Let me just get out of here.
So you were a shy person before?
Yeah. Reverting back to that.
What was going on during that time? Let's say high school. What was high school Callens like?
I think starting in junior high is when I started. I wasn't exactly the class clown, but I was definitely pretty funny. And you know, making people laugh. I would take, like in our class, they'd give an assignment, and I'd put like a funny twist on it. Like,
okay.
They, just dumb stuff, like draw yourself in 50 years, and I would turn in a drawing of a casket. Stuff like that.
That sounds like something I would have done during that time, too. Yeah. You're a little dark then.
Absolutely.
So what was happening during that time then? Why did you like or want that so much?
I think in my case, that's sort of being able to control how people accept you. I don't have to open up personally. I don't have to share like personal life details. I don't have to be that vulnerable. I can just have them accept me because I make them laugh and I'm funny and they like having me around.
Were you like bullied or something?
No.
Okay.
No, I think I was too shy to be bullied. I was just like, in the background.
They didn't even know you were there.
Right.
That was definitely me in high school. So that's funny. So now what's going on in your life now? Are you pursuing comedy? What's the deal?
I am. I kind of been treading water for a little while. I feel like I'll go through phases where I want to get out and do a lot of stage time as much as I can. And then after a while, I kind of get sick of my material, and I get sick of doing the same jokes, so I get tired of it, and I'll stop doing shows. I'll go up less and less. Mm-hmm. It just sort of ebbs and flows, and right now I'm back, and I've written a bunch of new material, so I'm excited about it, so I'm back in the getting stage time mode.
Okay. Do you think these stages have anything to do with like something that's happening in your life, or just really random?
Yeah, I think it sort of runs parallel to how things are going. You know, like when things are going bad and you're just kind of not in the mood to socialize, you just don't want to go out, don't want to get on stage, don't want to do things like that.
Yeah.
You know, some people use that, though, as almost like a therapy. Like when things are going bad, they want to get on stage. They want to get out there and have an outlet.
And that's not you?
Nah.
You don't want to talk about your sadness?
No. When I get really depressed, I just I hunker down at home with a bottle of whiskey and ride it out.
So you were used to be married. We talked about this a little bit on my web series.
Yes, we did.
We can go into a little more detail.
Oh, yeah,
now,
absolutely.
You know what? I'm interested to find out what needs to happen with our creative people to really like stimulate them. It's in order to want to stay in a relationship, because it's like, I think my wife's really normal and not that creative. And I think when I first started like dating her, that kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
But like, I think she was like that then. I don't know if it would work out if you have two people really passionate about something. I mean, is that a conflict? Are you in a relationship now? Do you want somebody that cares about stuff? Or do you kind of just want somebody that's just a normal person, kind of keep you grounded a little bit?
Well, I think just being in a relationship in general, obviously one of the most important things is to sort of share each other's interests. Like if you have a hobby or a pastime or something you enjoy doing, you obviously want your partner, your spouse, girlfriend, whatever, to enjoy it at least, to sort of share that interest, or at least be interested in the fact that you're interested in it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's kind of a drag. And I think we talked about this on your other show. Not to blame my ex-wife, but she got to the point where she just didn't really want to go to my shows. And so when I would go by myself, or even when she would go with me, she just wanted to leave as soon as I was done. Or if she wasn't there, I would just want to leave when I was done just so I'd go back home. And so that kind of sort of stunted my growth in the social scene, at least, as far as getting to know other comics and getting to know people. So, I mean, you definitely want someone who's, if not as interested as you are, at least appreciates your interest in it and sort of shares your joy in it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, how is your social... I guess if you're not, you don't have like this strong desire to be constantly on stage, because you say you, there's times where you can kind of take some time off or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess you still have a pretty normal life outside of comedy then? You're not like some of these people where their entire existence is comedy.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess as normal as can be. Like, I work like 3 nights a week bartending at a comedy club at my house. So, I mean, I'm there when I work. I go there when I'm on shows. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I spend a lot of my time around comedy and in the scene. When I have off nights or during the day when I have nothing to do, I just... I have other interests, but nothing that has the same drive as comedy has in me. Like, you know, I like to read. I like comic books. I like to draw a little bit. I like, you know, write stuff like that. There's always a bunch of varied projects that I would like to get off the ground that I probably just never get around to. But
yeah,
it's fairly normal existence, I think.
Okay. Well, is there... I'm still kind of on the relationship train right now.
Yeah.
So is that something that, I mean, you're interested in at all?
A relationship?
Yeah.
Are you asking me out right now?
I'm asking for a friend.
Nice. Swipe left. I'm kind of seeing somebody right now, and she likes comedy, so she comes to some of the shows, but she doesn't always, and it's cool. It's she likes to see me perform, which is fun, but you know, she's like me. She sees me tell the same jokes over and over. She's like, eh.
Gets tired of it.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's good. It's a good balance to have, I think.
What do you think is different about this one? Not, you don't have to, like, detail, but, like, what made this thing stand out over any other opportunity or thing that happened before?
You mean relationship-wise or how?
Relationship-wise and also, I guess, the optimism of... Maybe not optimism, but you seem content, so... So why her, I guess?
That is a good question. I think I'm just, I don't know. I think in life I'm generally a sort of go with the flow kind of person. But I think with relationships, I have a more fatalistic view. Like when things are going well, I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is going to be awesome forever. And when it's not going good, I'm like, oh, relationships are the worst thing ever. I never want to be in a relationship again. It's just I'm very...
But is that a negative thing?
What do you mean?
I mean, I kind of feel the same way, but I don't. I don't know if that's necessarily a negative thing. I think that's a weird thing that I hear people talk about, where it's like.
I tell myself this to make myself feel better about it. I like to say I'm a very passionate person in that regard. Like, when things are good, I'm loving it. When things are bad, I'm like, ugh, this is the worst thing ever. It's just, I have an intense amount of passion for whichever way it's going.
Okay, so you kind of go with the flow when it comes to that emotion.
Yeah.
Okay. But do you kind of see, so, I mean, would you prefer to just be happy then? Or do you kind of like your negativity?
Sometimes this is such a bad thing to say, but sometimes negativity is a good source of a creative spark. Like, for jokes, you know, I've gotten a few decent jokes out of negative experiences and negative points of view and, you know, being a downer, things like that. But other things I like to do, like writing and drawing. And when things are a little shittier in my life is when I tend to be a little more creative in those regards.
Yeah.
So it's just this weird... It's probably not the best thing, but it works, you know?
Yeah. But do you have, like, a pride in that, though? I'm just saying because, like, we were talking about how, like, you have this view that, you know, relationships and all this. I mean, that's honestly... And it's so weird for me to talk about this with people because they always feel like they should be concerned about me. But I feel like life is meaningless and everything good is eventually going to... crumble and
no, absolutely, it's all gonna end.
Yeah, but I'm like okay with that. That's like just that's just life. Like I don't want to change my view or be happy about life because I'm like I'm happy in the unhappiness. Is that wrong?
It's a little strange, maybe. But no, I get that too. I get that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like because even you know being in a relationship right now and things being great and being happy, and we've actually talked about this. And it's the sort of thing where it's like you know. This might not last very long even. We talked about that. Like, this might be just a short-term thing. But
I think that's a good thing.
Let's appreciate it while it's there.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's awesome that you could talk about that.
Yeah.
You know? are you afraid of death?
Absolutely.
How come?
Because it's not, I can't comprehend nothingness. I just can't do it. I can't comprehend. It's just the weirdest thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't. And on top of that, too, this is more of a selfish reason, I guess, for fearing death. But it's like I said, I have a ton of projects that I would love to get around to that I probably never will. Like dumb shit, like a comic book I want to write, a book I want to write, a couple of screenplays I want to do, some T-shirts I want to design, things like that. I'm never going to do them because my personality type is just like that. Like I'll have the idea and I won't follow through on it. But that also means that those ideas, their potential will never be realized. And so that, it's like, oh shit, when I die, all that stuff's just going to fade to dust and it'll never be a thing.
So is that ever a motivator for you?
No, it's more of a paralyzer. It's more like, oh shit, none of this stuff's ever going to get done, so I should do one. But I have too many to pick one to do, so I do none of them.
So there's not a part of you that... The fact that you feel like you're going to die and then it's all over and nothing else happens doesn't kind of like change your the way you live your life, like kind of try to accomplish as much stuff as possible?
No, it just makes me regret all the time that I've wasted.
Wasted?
Yeah.
Yeah. How much of that time? Or all of it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like there was a period of your life where you're just like didn't do anything? Or do you still feel like that's going
that's
on
still
now?
Happening. Totally still happening. Still happening. Yeah, absolutely.
What would you...
I feel like this interview is going to end with me and you going and turning the car on in a closed garage and just sort of fading off into, okay, goodbye.
And I'm okay talking about this stuff without feeling bad about it. Actually, just got back. I'm a little late here because I was at a poetry open mic up in Oceanside. And I only had like two new jokes that I wanted to do, and they've seen me before. So I just did crowd work, and I asked people if they were afraid of death and what their biggest insecurities were, how their relationship with their parents were. And it didn't go that great. I guess they didn't think it's as funny as I do.
Oh, yeah. I just did that set. What is today? It's Thursday. I did a set of Lestats on Tuesday. You've been there. You were just there recently.
Yeah. So
it's a pretty good crowd. It's always a full room.
And it was a little tough when we went.
Well, I think I did 17 minutes, and you've seen me. You know my material is pretty dark, especially lately. I've written a lot of new suicide jokes, which I just love. They're great. So I did a lot about suicide and about just stuff like that. And I have a joke about how I want to give people cancer. And so a lot of my darker stuff, like the crowd was sort of unresponsive. Like they weren't on board the whole time. But for the most part, they were good. But then after the show, at least a dozen people come to me like, oh, you were so good. I like how dark you were.
Interesting.
It's well, like they're afraid to laugh, maybe. I don't know. They don't want everyone to think that they, I don't know.
That's frustrating. I mean, I asked this girl like how her relationship with her parents was. And she kind of stayed quiet. And somebody behind her was like, no. What am I supposed to like? I mean, what am I supposed to do?
You probably stumbled onto some random situation where, like, her parents died in a murder-suicide, and she was, like, an infant. They left her in the crib with a day's
supply of food. But even if that's
the
case, like,
her.
I mean, that was in the past. I can't laugh about it yet.
Yeah, I'm more like you in that regard. Like, if we can't laugh at it, then you're just giving it too much power.
It's just like, it's not like I'm being, like, met her in the street and I'm asking personal questions, you know? It's in the context of, like, let's be okay and laugh at our hardships, you know? I mean, it's like, my dad is dead and I'm like, I mean, it's not that I'm happy about that, but, but you know, I'm trying to, like, that's what I want. If I could have my way, just talk about these weird, fucked up things that are with us and everything is okay, despite the fact that it's so scary.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fucking, God, it's so annoying.
I think that's why I go so dark in my comedy sometimes. Yeah. Because they're jokes, but it also, you know, it's like there's real stuff behind it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you're saying, like fear of death, like things like that.
Yeah.
Like depression, like being sad.
Definitely. So that you feel like you kind of use your comedy as a way to take away a little bit of the stuff that you really, in real life, are kind of afraid and sensitive about?
Some of it I do, not that much. I mean, some of it comes from there, but it's still just, to me, it's just mostly just jokes. Like, oh, I think this is really funny. I bet other people think it's funny, too.
Okay. So when you talk about suicide, that's why that topic?
To me, it's just
funny.
I feel like it's funny. It's relatable. I think it needs to. Because I mean, everyone is thought about, you know, jumping off a bridge or something. Like, to the degree of seriousness varies wildly, but I'm sure everyone is at like, ah, fuck, I just want to cash out right now.
Okay. So, but I mean, in the wide world that we live in, you could have picked so many topics. So, I think it's kind of interesting that you kind of just like brushed it off right now. But I think to make the attempt to be like, you know, this is something that. I mean, you like you said, you feel it's like everybody must have this feeling sometimes, you know, and you want to kind of like make light of it somewhat.
And
because
I could be way off base. It could be maybe like 5% of the population thinks about everyone else is like happy or at least not that disturbed. And so when I tell these
that's
jokes,
what I worry
like,
about sometimes. Yeah. Everybody's really as happy as they say they are. I don't believe any of them.
I had a couple of my suicide jokes, or little tags on my suicide jokes. I a lot of my jokes come from stuff I write on Facebook. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's funny. Let me add that to my joke.
Yeah.
So I posted something a few weeks ago, and I had two separate people, two friends who didn't know each other, like one back from Michigan and one from New York, who both like sent me private messages like, hey, are you okay? Do you need someone to talk to?
See, that's like, exactly what I'm talking about right here. That's what I mean, though. I'm like trying to like talk about this stuff. And so you've had something like that similar to you too, where you're just like, I'm just trying to be okay with this stuff that exists in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I read up on like too many, I don't know how this happened. I ended up on Wikipedia reading about like the worst murders ever. Nice. And,
you probably start with like a recipe of cornbread or something because the link holes you get into there
is ridiculous. And that's one of those Wikipedia people that I just like end up. And I'm just like reading like this horrific description of these serial killers and it just bummed me. Like I couldn't go to sleep. Like I had to watch Digimon for 30 minutes before I could take a nap. And it was like when you have this acknowledgement and this realization that there's so much horrible things in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know what your response is supposed to be.
I think I have a sort of a dissociative effect myself. Like, I don't get that sad about stuff in real life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if a friend commits suicide or a family member dies or whatever, I deal with those things. And, you know, I'm sad, but it doesn't really shake me up.
Yeah.
But then I'll go see Fury in the theaters and, like, everyone dies at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert. And I'm just like, it makes me want to cry. Or I'll go see Birdman. Mm. And like just the these fictional characters, the stuff they deal with, I'm like, oh my God, that's so sad.
So that's interesting. So you kind of disassociated with some of these topics then, but not really, because you said you are.
It's just like a transference from real life to fantasy world, which is strange.
You live in fantasy world a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't know, man. It's a tough thing. I like that the people that are dark.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and especially people that are dark in the context of comedy, because it's like, I mean, I really empathize with that whole people messaging you and be like, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, what would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, I was like, oh, LOL. I'm just, these are just jokes. I'm fine. Just stuff like that, you know?
Are you fine? Are you happy?
See, that's the thing is like, even if I was, like, let's say I was having one of those moments where, like, all right, I'm ready to fucking do whatever, end it all, and someone messaged me if you need to talk, I still wouldn't want to talk. I would still like play it off, be like, no, I'm fine, and then the next day be like, oh shit, he actually did do it.
What is the weird if you're terrified of death but you have contemplated suicide?
I think that's
another part of your duality. That's funny.
But that's actually another joke that I do is like I'm too much of a pussy to go through with it, so
I don't know if I've heard of that one.
It's very funny, trust me.
Okay, so you've been doing comedy for 8 years.
Almost 8 years, yeah.
Okay.
I like to tell people I took 2 years off in the middle, which I did.
Yeah.
But because I feel like I should be farther ahead than I am right now if I was actually doing it for 8 years solid.
Yeah.
But a lot of that's my own fault. Like, I don't grind as hard as a lot of these guys do. I don't go out and hustle and get as many shows as I can.
Who is, like, the peer group that you started with?
Peer group that I started with. That's the weird thing. Just going back to when I was married is when I started comedy, and I used to go to the Comedy Store. It's the only place I would go on Sunday nights for open mic. So I would try to get on every Sunday. I didn't get on all of them, but whenever I did, I'd go there, And again, because I was married, I'd never stuck around.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to know those people. But it was Gordon Downs, Joe Charles, Mike Vinn, Robert Larivere, Steven Garza, like all the old school Comedy yeah. Store guys. A lot of whom are still down here. Some have gone to L.A. Some have stopped doing comedy. But yeah, that was my original crew.
Yeah. And then when you came back from your 2-year break, who was in that crew?
That was, I did the Comedy Store thing for about a year and a half, and I had a lot of people tell me I should go check out other rooms, go to Winston's, go to all these other places, and I never did. Mm. And then I took a couple years off, and then when I came back, it actually was mostly Winston's. Jeff Bilodeau, Jesse Egan running that place, and the guys who I'd hang out there with would be like Adam Wolpe, Pat Puccini, Nick Crosby, guys like that, Dan Venti.
All right. And so within your peers, what is it like? Did you ever go through jealousy or competitiveness or anything like that with the people that you were with? Even if it was you still liked them, obviously, despite the fact that maybe sometimes, in your group of peers, some people advance faster than others, and some people kind of leapfrog other people.
Right.
I mean, how do you face the challenge of, I was better than this person and now they're super good?
That I'm a little better at dealing with, because I'll see guys that started around the same time or even after him, like Zoltan is just blown up. The guy's amazing. Brian Simpson, he's only been doing maybe 3 years and he's amazing. Yeah. He should make it.
Yeah.
But guys like that, I'm okay with, because they're legitimately good. Yeah. The thing that bothers me more than that is when I see guys, and this shouldn't matter, when I see guys headlining shows all over town, I'm like, that guy's headlining? Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Like, I'll see him on flyers and stuff. I'm like, come on, dude. But, I mean, I shouldn't care, because a lot of times they're just bar shows or club, small club shows or off-night shows. It shouldn't bother me. But I think that's part of why I don't grind as hard as I could, is because I want to have that safety net of, I could be farther ahead, but I'm just not working as hard as I should be.
Yeah.
It's sort of my little safety net of saving my ego.
Is it something that you want to break out of?
Yes and no. I do want to break out of it. I think I'm legitimately funny. I think I'm really good. I think I'm in the top half of comics, at least in San Diego. I'm one of the better ones. And so I kind of want to reach that potential. But at the same time, I think I'm afraid of giving it that big push and not getting as far as I thought I could, or finding out that I'm not as good as I thought I was.
Yeah.
And then we're back to suicide.
So do you feel like you have more self competitiveness, and do you beat yourself up a lot about not doing well sometimes?
Nah, a little bit. If I don't do well, it's always the crowd's fault. That's first rule of comedy. It's always the crowd's fault. But I still am definitely more competitive to myself. I don't really tell other comics, but I'm more competitive with my peers. When I see guys go up, I'm like, and do well, I'm like, ugh, if I was in this room right now, I would kill it. So yeah, I have a lot of that.
Interesting. So are you happy? Do you like yourself?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you like about yourself?
What's the next question? No, I don't know. I think I'm genuinely a nice person. For as competitive as I am, and as internally at least, as critical as I am of other comics, I think I'm still nice to my friends and my peers. I want to see people do well. I want to see them get better. I want to see everyone succeed. Not everyone, but I want to see a lot of them succeed.
For sure. Do you want to talk about your worst sexual experience?
You mean me and you just before we got here?
Was that bad?
Not my best.
Oh, damn it. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Just, well, what was it? What happened? Why was it terrible?
All right. Well, it was me and this other guy. No, I'm just kidding. I don't mean to sound arrogant or anything, but I've never had a really bad one.
Okay.
I've had some bad ones where I only lasted literally 90 seconds. I know guys joke, oh, it takes me 2 minutes, but there's been times guys are exaggerating for comedic effect when they say that. Like, but 90 seconds and I was done. So that's been embarrassing a couple times.
This happened more than once?
A couple times, I think. Okay. Twice, yeah.
Well, what was going on in that situation? You're just too eager? Or?
Yeah, I think just too nervous. Just, okay. Nerves, basically.
Yeah.
I think is what it was.
And so it just happened real quick. And then yeah. And then how did the person respond to that?
They were accommodating. They were like, oh, don't, no, it was great, whatever, you know, stuff like that.
So
just being nice.
Great.
But at least they weren't calling me out on it. You know?
Yeah,
they
yeah,
weren't
yeah.
like, oh, that was horrible. But there's also been a couple times where I thought I was doing amazing. And then I found out, like, later on from that person, like, no, you were not doing that good. I mean, I wasn't doing horrible, but I was doing not nearly what I thought I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. There's one in particular I'm thinking of where is this chick I dated for a few years, a long time ago. The first time we had sex, we went for, like, 40, 45 minutes. And the whole time, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm lasting really long. This is great. I'm doing good. She's into it. This is... And then I found out... You know, we started dating around that time. We dated for a little while, and I found out later on while we were dating, she was like, oh, no, that first time we had sex, you never even got it in.
What?
Like, you were basically just rubbing it in between my thighs. That's why you lasted so long. And I was like, oh, okay, that's embarrassing.
How old were you when that happened?
I think I was 20. I don't okay. remember.
It was still early on then.
Yeah.
When did you start having sex?
18.
Okay. Do you remember... Do you have a losing your virginity story that's any good?
Nah, it's not really any good. It was pretty typical. It would have been like from an 80s romantic comedy, maybe.
All right.
Pretty boring.
Have you ever had sex in somebody else's bed?
Yes.
Anybody interesting?
No, not really. I mean, the losing my virginity, going back to that, the chick I was dating at the time, who I lost my virginity to, we were at a mutual friend's house whose parents were out of town, so having a party. And we had sex on their parents' bed. So,
nice.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a mood killer or whatever. But
I mean, no, but...
Maybe it's my own parents' bed. That would be a little weird.
That would be weird.
Especially if they're sleeping.
If they're in the bed when it happened.
Right.
What about best? Do you have a best sexual experience story?
Ongoing.
Every time?
Just lately. Been really good.
So nothing that stands out in particular then?
Nothing I want to talk about in detail. No.
All right.
It's just a lot of fun though.
All right, that's good, man. I'm happy for you. So what do you have any new things coming up in the near future that you're working on?
I keep every few months, I'll try to get some sketch comedy off the ground.
Oh, really?
I'll get excited about that. And then I'm sure you know, just from being in the scene, whatever, it's virtually impossible to get a group together to shoot a sketch. So that's one of those things that I always want to get going again, and I never do. I had my own sketch group for about a year. We did like 20 sketches on a regular basis.
Oh, wow.
But that just, we all just kind of drifted away. But that's something I would like to get back to.
So those are out there in the world?
They are.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the production value is beyond horrible because it was basically just a handheld camera, no mic, just the mic on the camera.
Yeah.
No lighting, just us in an apartment filming shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're all up on my page on Funny or Die, which if you can track that down, I enjoy. I've been thinking about going up to L.A. more often just to get more involved in that scene. A lot of my friends are up there inviting me to go up and... Rajan, you know Rajan from Lestats. He just asked me if I had any interest in doing a little tour with him. He was thinking about going to Austin in maybe the fall. Not the fall, in February or March. So that would be
cool
if that
happened. I'm going to be in Austin in February.
Nice.
Why did you guys decide to go over there?
It was just him. He asked me if I would be interested. Yeah. And I said, fuck yeah, I would. That'd
Have
be
you
great.
Been there?
No, never been to Austin.
Fucking great comedy scene.
That's one thing that's on my wish list is like just... Not even necessarily touring, but like going to another city and doing comedy there.
Yeah.
Because I've done comedy in Detroit because I'm from there. And when I was in New York, I hit up three super shitty open mics. So, I mean, that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
But I'd like to go to another city and do like a legit club. I think that'd be fun.
You didn't go to Seattle?
No.
Oh.
I've been to Seattle, but I haven't done comedy there.
Okay. All right. Well, was this recently?
Seattle?
Yeah.
No. It was... years ago.
Wait, where's Chase at?
Portland.
Portland. Did you do comedy there?
No, I would like to. I went to visit him back in May, but I was literally there for like 2 days.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't really have time to do anything.
Check out any of the mics.
That was the most expensive trip I've ever taken, possibly, because I went on Spirit Airlines, which I don't know if you've ever flown that. It's like the cheapest airline, but it's because they charge you for everything.
Yeah.
Like if you bring a bag, they charge you for the bag. It's ridiculous. But I just flew with like my backpack, so it's super cheap for me. But the night before, actually, yeah, I drink a lot. I drink every night. And so the night before, I was drinking really heavily. So the next day, I was hanging out with one of my friends, and I got a little drunker than I expected to. My flight was at 5 p.m.,
yeah,
and she was going to drive me there, but I stayed too drunk. And at 5 p.m., when I was supposed to go, I was actually throwing up in the hallway on my hands and knees.
Oh, God.
So I missed the flight. Had to book a last-minute flight the next morning on Southwest. Flew up there, hung out with Chase a couple days.
Yeah.
Found out that since I missed my flight out there on Spirit, they automatically canceled my return flight. I didn't know that was a thing, but that's what they do. So then I had to buy another last-minute flight on Southwest to come back. So I ended up buying 4 tickets to travel to Portland for a couple days.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
It was fun, though. It was fun. I had a good time.
That's good. God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. It's getting close to that time. You said you have to leave at 9:15?
Ish, yeah.
All right. So we got a short window to really find out who you are right now.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Did I ask you what your biggest insecurity is?
My biggest insecurity is getting to the point in my comedy career where I'm doing podcasts at a Denny's on a weeknight. I just think that would be right. No, this is fun. I enjoy this. My biggest insecurity is just not making people laugh. Like,
yeah,
just not being funny, I think, is my biggest insecurity. Not entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had sets where I've done poorly, and it does kind of bother me afterwards, but I usually afterwards can understand. I'm like, oh, I went a little too dark for this type of crowd, or you know, comics before me were trending a certain way, and I kind of went in such an opposite direction.
Yeah,
like, yeah, when I do bad, it's my own fault. But I definitely do well far more often than I do bad. And so if that ever stopped, that's probably my biggest insecurity.
You fear that it could happen.
Yeah,
not that you are at that level now.
Correct.
Okay. What do you think you're a misunderstood person? I think people like read you wrong.
I think I'm pretty easy to read.
Yeah?
Like, I'm pretty friendly. I'm pretty social. Like we talked about earlier, to a degree. Like, I don't like socializing too much, but I'm pretty social. I'm pretty friendly. I'm pretty easy to get to know. I'm pretty easy to hang around.
Okay.
I'm pretty sarcastic as well.
Yeah. You're kind of like, you're not an open book, though. You're kind of closed off in some regards, right?
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really talk about incredibly personal shit too much. I mean, unless we're on a podcast or something.
What are the off topics?
There's nothing really off. Like the chick I'm seeing now, I'm not really talking about that too much.
Yeah.
It's
new.
We could talk about whatever, like my family, my childhood, me, whatever.
Okay. So So you're not too like closed off then. So you think pretty much that anybody that talks to you and sits down and has a conversation pretty much get to know the essence of you?
to the amount that I would let them. Yeah, when I start to get uncomfortable in conversation, which is easy for me to get to, I just get uncomfortable. I feel like I'm an extroverted introvert.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really introverted as a person, but I like to socialize. So I like to just control how much I socialize.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I'm talking to someone and it just gets to the point where I'm just starting to feel uncomfortable or whatever, I'll just kind of steer the conversation back towards them, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you think you come off to people? Do you think...
I think I come off as friendly and genuine and caring.
Okay.
And funny.
Let's
put that one first. Funny. And then, yeah.
All right, that's good. So you don't have too much worry that you're meeting people that think that you are a shitty person or anything like that?
No.
That's nice.
That's the funny thing too.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Do you care what people think about you?
I do, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to not do that so much.
care what people think?
I care so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how to stop it, but yeah. I guess you don't know either, so.
Oh, no, no.
But you have
all.
A certain level of, like, you know, you think you're pretty decent, so how do you do that? I'm trying to look for advice here.
How do you actually be a decent person, or how do you get people to think you're a decent person? Because those are two different things.
It's hard for me to figure out how to... Because this is, I think if you were to put my attributes on a piece of paper, they'd be like, this is a decent person. But it's just hard for me to believe it, I guess. Did it take any work for you, or you think it just kind of...
That sounds more like a self-confidence issue. It sounds like you are a decent person, but you don't believe that you're a decent person.
I don't know, maybe.
I think that's what's happening right now.
I don't know.
Because you're a decent guy. I know you. I've known you for a little while. I don't know you incredibly well, but I know you. I've spent time with you. I've talked to you.
Yeah.
You give me a hug every time you see me.
Dude, you asked for it. This is my Facebook joke.
Yeah, I think you're a decent guy, and maybe that's just maybe an insecurity or a worry. Maybe that's one of your base fears.
Okay. Yeah, definitely is. I don't have a lot of confidence. You used to be a shy person, though, so did you develop confidence? Or do you think it was just in there the whole time, waiting to be unlocked?
I think, I don't know if I developed confidence so much as I developed a way to fake confidence, because making people laugh is sort of deflection, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to open up to you, but I'll make you laugh.
Yeah.
And when you make people laugh, they like you. They like to be around you.
Do you feel a little bit more in power when you're the person that's the funny
more
person?
Yeah, definitely more in control. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's nice. So you think that's the key then?
It could be. Yeah.
But I'm doing comedy and it's not helping.
Be funnier.
So I just have to be funnier. Oh, man. So
are you still getting up a lot?
I kind of slowed down a little bit this last month. Or a little more. October was a rough month.
Yeah.
And so pretty much, like, I don't know, I started doing this podcast, and then me and some of the, me and Gordon and Brittany, I don't know if you know Brittany, she's like Raul's friend.
Okay.
Anyways, we're shooting a thing together.
Nice.
So that's, you know, one day less of comedy plus this every once in a while.
Right.
So, you know, I just kind of started slowing down a little because I was kind of like,
that's kind of a lot going on anyways, you know?
Yeah, I'm still keeping really busy.
Yeah.
But it's just like I couldn't handle just doing the open mics all the time anymore.
Right.
It just started to like really wear down on me. And so I'm just like, well, I need to figure out a different way to be creative because this is not cutting it.
Right on. And did you notice how I did that? You were talking to me about being in control and I turned the conversation towards you.
That was
like,
very impressive.
Okay, I don't want to – let me make him talk about himself a little more because he's getting to an area where I don't want to really reveal too much. It's the defense mechanism.
Yeah. You should be in charge of this podcast. I should have you on as my co-host.
I am. You're fired.
All right. Let's see. 9:15. Do we have any final thoughts?
I heard the Grand Slam was good. I was thinking about that. No, I don't know. Anything else you want to know? Anything else you want to ask?
I mean, there's so much, but you know, we have a limited amount of time, and I just want you to make sure you let everybody know what they need to know about Dave Callens.
He's hilarious. Book him if you run a room and you're listening to this. No, I think fun is the biggest aspect for me. Like,
yeah,
that's why I like to hang out with people. That's why I like to socialize. That's why I like, you know, being friends with all these comics. It's fun. It's fun just
it
being
a
around
time.
A group of people like that. It's fun being on shows. It's fun going to shows and watching your friends go up there and do well.
Yeah.
It's fun entertaining people, making people laugh.
That's a good point. I remember that we did that Royal Dive show. That was really terrible, but it was still fun.
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
I was happy that you guys were the ones booked for that because, like, God, I feel so – some people make me feel so shitty even when it's a good show. I'm like, did you even have a good time today? Like, I just want you guys to have a good time.
Who was that? That was me and Dewey and Ryan Hicks.
Ryan Hicks and then Evan Cassidy from Orange County was there.
Is he the guy that did, like, three different characters?
He did the characters,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
There might have been maybe, like, one other person there.
Yeah, that's the thing with rooms, too, is, like, you know, when you do a legit club and the audience is there ready to laugh, obviously that's great. But when you do a club show or a bar show or a show where someplace where it's not comedy on a regular basis and it kind of turns into a shit show, sometimes that's just as fun, if not more so.
Yeah. That was actually not a bad one.
No,
there was not
a
lot of people.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
The small crowd that we had was really good.
Yeah.
But it just like, oh, God. It was like, you and Dewey were laughing and having a good time, so that made it better because like there'll be times where it's like a good show, and then I'll have somebody book that just like seems like they're just angry about something. And I'm
right,
like, why?
Right.
I don't even want to put them on anymore.
Yeah.
And some of them are good comics, but just like, why are you so upset right now? I don't know. Maybe I just think they hate me.
Comics are just divas. What are you going to do?
All right. Well, this was a good conversation.
Absolutely.
Lightning round of Can You Edit That Out? And if you have any other thoughts or comments that you want me to add to the beginning of this podcast later on, if you have anything you want to plug.
Can you make my voice sound like Brad Pitt's?
I will do my very best.
Okay. All right. No, this was fun. This was a lot of fun. I'm going to go home and swallow a bottle of pills and never wake up.
All right.
Just kidding. All my friends listening to this.
All right. That's the end of the episode. Thanks, guys.
Evil minds that plot destruction. Get out of the way. Sorcerer of death's construction.
Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
In the fields of bodies burning.
Get out the way.
As the war machine keeps turning.
Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
Death and hatred to mankind.
Get out the way.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord,
yeah. Oh, no.